Good morning, Woolmer Baptist. Nice to see you and nice to hear you. The banners that have been put up, aren't they absolutely wonderful? There's one about fire on this side, but the one on this side with all the languages for the word joy. Joy. Jesus first. Others second, yourself last. That's the joy of Whitsun. Now, I'm very conscious of the fact that our dear Barry wished to be here this morning, as he had reached his 90th birthday and wanted to preach in the light of that event. I'm not aware of what he might have said, but if it was me, and I was celebrating my 90th birthday, and I had been given these scriptures, this is what I might have said. Imagine yourselves this morning holding empty milk bottles. And I am standing here with a hose pipe, and I am seeking to squirt the water across the congregation and to see how much water I can actually get into the bottles that you are holding. Have you got the picture? Yeah. That is one cynic's description of what preaching is. The sermon may reach the ears, but how much of it enters the heart? Today, Whitsunday, the occasion when believers dressed in white were baptized. So White Sunday became Whit Sunday. It is also called Pentecost from the word penta, meaning 50, the number of days between Easter and the day when God poured out his Spirit upon the Jewish worshippers in Jerusalem. On that occasion, the apostle preached, saying this was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And he concludes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From what? Saved from that collective arrogance, the building of towers, as in Babylon. We read in the Old Testament how the people were of one language, thus enabling to work together and to build a tower to heaven, a symbol of self-fulfillment and aggression. So God confused the language, and the tower became neglected because the people were scattered geographically and linguistically into tribes, petty kingdoms, and nations hostile to each other. And humanity has been building towers ever since, many of which have already fallen by neglect or by violence. Whitsun is about a reversal of all that by creating a new race of people, a new society out of the old, a God-chosen people, made whole, made one in heart, one in mind, one in language, the language of love. The Church of Christ divided historically between the West and the East, and they have different calendars. One has the Gregorian calendar, and the other one has the Julian character, which means that we celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Whitsun on different occasions, right? Illustrating our lack of oneness. This year, it's one of the extraordinary occasions when the two calendars come together and the Church West and the Church East are celebrating Whitsun on the same day, today. This day is as important as Christmas and Easter Sunday morning. So we should arrive with great expectation and joy. I attended a Whitsun baptism in Ukraine. It was a very public occasion, within a beautiful park beside a lovely river in which the candidates were baptized. They wore white costumes, and the surface of the waters was covered in colored balloons. And it was a time of celebration with a certain reverence, but ultimately joyous. There were 9 candidates of both genders, mostly young, and a good crowd of supporters with lots of smiles and great singing. The pastor was gracious enough to invite me to share in the baptism of my adopted son, Valera, which you will understand was a joyous privilege for me. Note that something had happened before the baptism. These young people had become Christians. They had received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, made possible by the activity of God's Holy Spirit in their life. They were already filled to overflowing, and that was why they were ready to declare their newborn faith publicly. They were not ashamed. It was a declaration of new birth with a lot of growing up to do, but there was no going back. Remember that what is poured out has to be received, and this requires an open mind and an open heart. On that first Pentecost occasion, there were some who put the experience down to an excess of alcohol. There will always be such people sitting in our churches. But at least 3,000 were baptized and added to the believers. It was the birthday of the church in Jerusalem. All those Jewish believers from different nationalities were gathered together and were being made one. It would be repeated later in Samaria and then again in Caesarea. The birth of a new race, a new people of God, through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed, thus fulfilling God's promise to Abraham centuries before. The gift of the Spirit was not to just get a blessing for ourselves individually, but collectively to be a blessing to the rest of the world. So we have a blessing promised, we have a blessing fulfilled, and a blessing far-reaching. What began on that day has continued throughout history and throughout the world and will continue till the end of time. The Spirit comes to us, the Spirit comes in us, and the Spirit flows out of us to the blessing of the world around. It's a case of being born from above, of believing, of belonging, of behaving, and of becoming increasingly like Jesus, like Christ. In other words, Christians. And that is Christian by name, Christian by nature, Christian by race, the true people of God. So Whitsun, or Pentecost, is about a blessing poured out and a blessing poured in and a blessing poured through. Way back in Genesis, we read at the creation of the world that the Spirit of God moved across the surface of the waters. And the NIV, the New English Version, uses the word hovering, rather like a bird, or dare I say it, a dove, a creative force bringing order out of chaos, light out of darkness, and apparent, yes, light out of darkness and life out of apparent lifelessness. I'm not quite sure whether I should say this, but on my bungalow, I have a herring gull nest beside the chimney. And in all those conditions of strong sun, strong winds, or heavy rain, there is that mother bird sitting over her eggs. A wonderful illustration of the Spirit of God, the dove of God, hovering over his people to bring out life, whatever the conditions may be around. When we come to the New Testament, we notice that at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God alighted like a dove, not as a dove. And John noticed that it remained. This was no temporary one-off experience, as so often recorded in the Old Testament, but a permanent, irreversible occupation. It was that that struck John so forcibly, that this was a first. In the past, the Spirit came upon a person to do a particular job at a particular time. But in Jesus, it stayed with Jesus right through his ministry and to its glorious end. The coming of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit is not an occasional odd event, but a permanent once for all event. And just before his ascension, Jesus assured his disciples that the Father would give them another comforter, a companion who would be with them forever, the Spirit of truth. He will be with you, says Jesus. He will be in you, says Jesus, and he will not leave you as orphans, says Jesus. And there is much more in John 14 you might like to read, where the language changes from he to we, Father and Son. Poured out from the Father, poured out upon the Son, affirming his identity, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Poured into his life, empowering his ability, and poured out of his life to the benefit of many. And as Christians, as Christ's ones, the Holy Spirit is poured out from the Father upon us, poured into upon us, giving us an identity. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. Poured into our lives, empowering us and giving us extraordinary gifts, and poured out of our lives to the benefit and the blessing of many. How wonderful this may be for us. And however it's good for our well-being and our security and our assurance and our joy, the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit in what and who he is and what he is doing, on who Jesus is and what he has done, and upon the Father and what he will do. The emphasis for the Christian community is upon the worship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the apostle puts it all together and he writes to the church in Ephesus, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. And all the people said,
Amen.
Indeed.